Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. I'm Kelly from Brave Parenting. Today, we have a special episode for you because we are going to be reviewing a Minecraft movie for you. Now, if you are a parent who allows this video game Minecraft to be played in your home, your kids are definitely going to want to see this movie. If you're a parent who doesn't allow it, your kids may also still want to see this movie. And so we're going to give you a Brave Parenting sort of Christian guide to the movie. And before we get started, let me remind you that there is a Brave Parenting guide to Minecraft, the game, not necessarily the movie, on our website, braveparenting.net. So make sure you check that out if you are allowing it and you're not sure if it's completely safe or you're thinking about allowing it. That guide is going to give you everything that you need to know, as well as give our Brave Parenting recommendations for use. So today I am joined by my husband, Ryan, for two main reasons. Number one, he has played Minecraft. He understands the Minecraft world and sort of its cult following. And number two, because we saw the movie together. So welcome, Ryan.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, we did see it together on premiere night.
And I think it's because you really want it to actually see the movie.
I did. I was actually very curious to see how they moved from the game to the big screen. And I was actually excited to see it. And I've been playing Minecraft. I first heard about Minecraft back in 2012 through a tech article because it was still a fairly new game. And I thought it sounded interesting, so I would check it out. And I'm pretty sure back then when I told you about it, I told you it was basically Lego on a computer.
Yeah. And I remember watching you play it and thinking, that's really dumb. But in all fairness, I am not a video game girl. Everybody probably knows that. I think all video games are kind of weird and dumb. I'm just one of those people who like reality. And so like this virtual world just doesn't always appeal to me.
That is true. But as someone who enjoys video games and someone who enjoys just being creative in that way, the game I found to be extremely interesting. And just to see its evolution over the last 13 years, to see how it's changed and morphed from when it became more popular to then when Microsoft purchased it, and just how it's changed the game, because it has dramatically changed. Now, like we said, I was very excited to see the movie, but I also kept my expectations low because you never know how those video game adaptations are going to turn out when it actually gets put on a movie screen. But I gotta say, I thought they did a really good job. I thought they stayed true to the game and the CGI was fairly excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say I was not super excited to see it because I thought, okay, well, you know, we'll do this for Brave Parenting. But I overall thought that it was better than I expected.
Yes. But the game is definitely geared towards a male audience and really a younger male audience who's probably been playing the game for the majority of their lives.
Right. So you got to the theater on time, and I got to the theater like 20 minutes late because that's just the way life works sometimes. And so I missed all the previews and stuff. But as I was walking in, it was, you know, like 20 minutes after it started, there was enough light that I could still see the entire crowd in the theater, and it was very male dominated. As I looked around, I was like, wow, there was a lot of guys. And I was excited. There was guys that looked like they were on dates with girls. That made me happy. I thought, okay, at least they're, you know, on dates with girls. But there was a lot, definitely a lot of young teenage and young men, teenage boys there. So go ahead and tell us, what is the general plot of the movie?
All right. I'm going to get somewhat in depth here while still trying to keep it general, because the movie tries to get you up to speed if you haven't played the game, but it could lose you along the way if you're not careful. So let me try and break it down. So the main character of both the game and the movie is Steve. Steve is the original like skin that you had in the game when it first came out, and that's who you always played as. Now, over the years, especially after it was purchased by Microsoft, lots of new skins have been added, and of course, you can buy those skins just like you can in other games, because Fortnite popularized the ability to purchase items like that. But that's a story and a podcast for another day.
Yeah.
Now, Steve is a real human in the movie, though. He's not in the game itself, and he has a fascination with gaming. But minds aren't for children, and they make this very clear in the movie. So he But he eventually grows up, and while he's working a regular desk job, he realizes his first love of mining and quickly just runs out of his job, runs back to a mine, and he's got a pickaxe in hand, runs into the mine, and just starts mining.
And he just, like, happens to come across this, you know, orb. I mean, and they're narrating, he's narrating the story, right? So Steve is trying to catch everybody up to pace as to what goes on in Minecraft through this intro part.
Right.
And he says, I mined until I found this orb. And right? And that's yes. what he says. Yeah. And then it's all of a sudden like magic happens.
Yes. And there's a lot of plot holes and whatnot. But again, it stayed true to the movie. So like the orb that he finds is very similar in design as the actual like original beacon in the game, which is what you would use to find your way home. So I thought they did a good job with staying true.
Well, yeah. And so that meant nothing to me. Like the orb, the style of the orb, the beacon, you kept telling me that it was all Minecraft accurate, you know, game accurate to everything, which meant nothing to me because I'd never seen it. So to someone who gamed, to someone who didn't ever play it, you could definitely tell that you appreciated all those little things.
Yes. Yes, for sure. So anyways, Steve crosses through the portal and he enters into the Minecraft overworld. And the movie, again, does a great job with the character, the CGI. It looks like you would expect it to look like if you are a human going into the Minecraft world, as far as everything being blocky, but yet being fairly realistic. And not only was the graphics really good, but they did an excellent job with the sound effects and making the sounds of all of the non-player characters, the NPCs, sound just like they do in the game.
Yeah, again, that meant nothing to me, the sounds that everybody made. I would have thought that it was just silly. It was just dumb sounds. But again, you were whispering constantly to me, that's game accurate. That's game accurate.
Because it did. I would not be surprised if they pulled the actual audio from the game for some of those characters. So as he's in the overworld, he does what everyone first does in Minecraft, and that's just start building. You mine, you build, you build, you build, you build some more, you build something different, and you just build. And he's just populating the overworld with all of these structures and buildings and creations throughout the entire game. And then it turns to night, just like it does in the game, which is when all of the bad characters come out. So we see things like zombies and skeletons and spiders and creepers. And that adds that challenge to the game where you have to fight them off or to hide from them in order to survive. And along the way, he befriends a wolf that he then tames with one of the skeleton bones, and it becomes his pet dog, and he names it Dennis.
Again, game accurate.
Game accurate as far as how you actually tame a wolf in the game. Yes, absolutely. He continues to go through the game, and then he comes across a broken portal to the Nether, which the Nether is the underworld in the game. So the overworld is all green and lush, and you've got all these interesting biomes of winter and summer and these fields and all sorts of things. But the Nether is very much like fire and brimstone, lava everywhere, and it's all dark. And him and his dog, Dennis, of course, go through the portal, and they're instantly greeted by the piglins.
And the piglins, what are they like? Just evil pigs.
Yes.
Who, I don't know. None of this makes sense to you.
Yes.
I should note, if none of it makes sense to you, it's not really critical that you understand all of it, I think, for to kind of get the movie. It kind of just keeps pushing you along.
It does.
But they just explain that basically this is kind of all of the intro as to how this and why this is all happening before they actually introduce the other main characters.
Yeah, they're really just personified pigs, essentially, with human characteristics. That's all they are. So, and after a series of events that really aren't even worth going into, the orb and the crystal that Steve has, he loses it because the piglins are going after it because they want to take over the overworld. So he gives it to his dog, Dennis, who then brings it back through the overworld to the actual real world and then hides it in his bedroom. And then somehow it ends up in a storage unit. And that's how we get our next character.
Yeah. And so that's Garrett, the garbage man. Now, this is a super fascinating character because he's like the first video game influencer or professional gamer. Like back in the 80s, he's playing like an arcade game. And he's like winning, and they kind of show how he's like the superstar video game.
Extremely popular, and everyone wants to be like Garrett the Garbage Man.
Yeah.
And it's just, yes. And it's, I think it's an interesting take because we've seen that done before in other games. where they'll portray someone as that like 80s gamer who would be the equivalent to the game influencer these days. But it also, to some degree, it's just like, it shows what happens if you build your life around being a gamer, because 30 years later, that's still what he's trying to do. And it's not working out nearly as well for him. He's running a video game store that's failing, and he's just still living in his past. And
so that he goes and buys like this storage unit auction.
Yes.
And thinking that he's going to get some old Atari. He comes across the orb. This is where this new orb comes through.
Right.
Into the new characters.
Yes. Comes into his possession. He puts it in his store and it just basically sits there. Why he never does anything with it, again, plot holes galore. But it doesn't matter. So that's Garrett. He's one of the main characters. The only reason we bring him up is A, because he has that like gamer influence role, and B, there's a few other parts of the movie that were, he's kind of important. So then they introduce their next three characters in the movie. So we've got a total of five. Steve, the main character in the game and really the main character in the movie. Garrett, who's kind of, he was supposed to actually just be just a quick scene with Jason Momoa playing him, just a cameo, but they ended up turning it into a much bigger scene is what I've heard. And then we've got our next three, which are these two younger teens named Natalie and Henry, who are recently orphaned. We don't know what happened to their father originally, but their mother recently died. And Natalie is a young adult female who takes
guardianship over her brother. Yes. Yeah.
So she's caring for both of them, and she gets a job as a social media
manager
at a potato company
factory or something.
Something.
Again, it's not very clear, but it was interesting that they chose that her full-time job in order so she could provide for her brother was like managing this potato company's social media.
Right. And so they move into this town, and when they're moving into their house, they meet their real estate agent, who also becomes her only friend and confidant in the
town. Yeah.
And somehow.
And then Henry walks by Garrett's shop and sees the orb.
Well, he walks by the shop, sees it looks interesting because he's really good with technology and is really good with engineering and is just really smart all around. So he sees the shop, walks in, and he sees the orb. And of course, he makes the connection with the orb, with the crystal, and that leads them to the Minecraft overworld.
Yes. And then Natalie and the real estate agent go looking for them. And anyway, all of them end up in the overworld.
Interestingly, because Natalie was tracking his location on his phone. And that's how she knew where he was.
Yes. So we have lots of modern happenings here that's going on in this, applying modern technology as well to this kind of video game world.
Right. And so they're in the Minecraft overworld, and almost instantly Henry figures out the mechanics of the game essentially and is able to build and craft and do the things that he needs to do in the game in order to really at first just to protect them, because they go into the nighttime and all the skeletons and zombies and come out, and he has to build them this little fort basically to keep them safe, which all the bad characters are able to get into. And then they end up being rescued by Steve,
who just happens to have gotten out of the Nether and saves them. So like, tons of plot holes, but you just keep rolling with it because that's just how the movie progresses.
Yes.
So now let's talk about just our overall thoughts, because then that pretty much leads into the whole rest of it. That's kind of all the intro.
Right there. Until the ending. And by the way, spoiler alerts here.
Yeah, there may be, but not really. I don't think any of it's too unexpected.
Right, right. Okay, so let's get to overall thoughts of the movie. So like we've said before, very well done. Holds true to the canon of Minecraft. Anyone who's played the game is going to think that it's a pretty good movie as far as holding.
Because like you said, it was game accurate. Game accurate was the two words of the evening.
Yes, for sure.
That you said over and over and over again.
Second, there really wasn't any bad language in the movie.
So I took note of that. I really listened hard for that. There was a couple, I think, uses of the word crap or sucks. I think, and then there was one son of a biscuit. And I think there's some other words that more, I think, Common Sense Media reviewed, like listed a couple. But there's definitely no other swearing and no other, I would say, innuendos or slang type stuff that would be considered bad.
There were some innuendos in the game that were targeted towards adults and immature teen boys, but...
Well, that's true, yes.
But I think that would go over the head of a lot of
younger. And that would be when Jack Black and Jason Momoa characters were flying and they had to get through like a small tunnel of some sort. And they said that the only way they're going to be able to make it through, you know, in their panicked tone is by making a man sandwich. And so, you know, there's that. It reminded me, if you've ever seen like the old movie Blades of Glory, where Will Ferrell, they're ice skating. Anyway, it's kind of like that. It's just silly, silly humor that young boys would think is funny.
Right. Adds nothing to the story.
Nothing.
It was totally for the young boy audience there. The violence, too, in the movie is very cartoon, and there's no blood or gore. It's clean.
Yeah, so the head piglin overlord person or whatever you want to call her, when she would like kind of want to get rid of her minions who weren't doing what she was saying, she would just kind of like poke them and they like turned into a pork chop.
Which is game accurate.
So, okay, they turned into pork chops in the game too. So it was not violent. They just poof, were all of a sudden the pork chop. I guess that's funny.
And also the movie is what you would expect, like we've been saying, is there's lots of plot holes. There's lots of things that don't make a whole lot of sense, but overall it's just kind of a fun movie.
Yeah. I'm going to say that I walked out of it. My expectations were so low that anything better than rock bottom was going to be better, but it did make me laugh. I thought that there was several great demonstrations of good character. There was a lot of teamwork. There was honesty being, you know, like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I shouldn't have said that. There was like forgiveness. There was obviously a lot of courage, humility. You know, I can't do that. I've been doing this all wrong. You know, just all of those kind of character traits, which I look for in movies and I think is good to see that they still showed that in a video game movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the end, the overall message of the movie was very good too. So as they've obviously, spoiler alert here, they win and they're able to get the orb and crystal away from the piglins and they defeat the piglin overlord person, whoever she was. I don't actually really know. But after they do all of that, all of the main characters are planning on going back to the real world and they ask Steve if he wants to go with them. And Steve says no, because there's so much more that he wants to build in the game. Mm-hmm. And then the character Natalie, essentially she says to Steve, what could you create in the real world? And then he thinks about it for a minute and then he decides, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to get out of the game and I'm going to go back to the
real
world.
He's like, yeah, forget it. You're right. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go back to the real world. Yeah, so there was that moment. And you immediately said, that's it. That's exactly the point. Is you leave the game.
Right.
You go in.
It's fun. You can be creative and you can build and you can do all these things. But there comes a time where you need to just get out of the game and get back into the real world and start creating for real.
Yeah. And they end with explaining what everyone went on to do with their life. You know, how they, and it's all about work. What they did literally for work. Well, Henry goes back to school. They talk about what Natalie found a new career doing and Garrett and Steve end up doing. And I thought that was a really important aspect of it, is that they left the game and went to work. And it's important because that's not what we're seeing a lot in this generation. I think it's an important fact to point out, as we see a lot of young people who really just want to be professional video gamers. They want to live this life in the game. That's kind of like where their social life is. And we know what it looks like. It looks like them in a room by themselves with a headset on, talking to people that they don't have any face-to-face contact with. And forgoing their normal maturation, normal tasks of working and living and socializing and having relationships in the real world.
Right. And the problem is they're finding more enjoyment, purpose, and really fulfillment in the games more than they are in life.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a common theme we hear from parents all of the time. Wherever we go to speak or go to conferences, we hear about parents who just have young adult men who are just doing nothing but gaming. And so I think this is an important topic. It's an important conversation to have if you go see the movie with your maybe adolescent age boys and you want to have a conversation about the movie and how it can be applied to real life. It's the fact that they left the game and they went to work. You know, work is one thing that Gen Z is very opposed to. And it's, I think, becoming a big problem that we probably need to start addressing when our young men and women and girls are younger, because work is not a bad thing. We were created to work. That's what God said. When he created Adam, he put him in the garden and he said, you know, like, tend to this garden, work it, have dominion over this. And it was sin that caused work to be hard and to be difficult. It's Genesis 3, 17 through 20. God says to Adam, cursed is the ground because of what you do. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it. And by the sweat of your brow, you will eat from it, right? So that's what made work hard. And so now in our generation, in our day and age of video gaming and in the digital world, we don't want to do hard work because entertainment is just always there, always available and easy and so accessible. And that's where our kids are in their relationships. So we're going to apply biblically what we can learn from this movie. And I think it was really their bottom line and their kind of takeaway is that you still go back and you do work. Gaming can maybe be a leisure done in a healthy way, but you still go back to work. And as we know, Proverbs 22:6, if you raise a child in the way that they should go, they will not depart from it. But if you allow unrestricted and unlimited time in video games when kids are young, they will not depart from it when they are 18. And you think that they should be going and taking college classes or learning a trade or just working full time. They're not going to depart from that life that they grew up in their childhood of constantly video gaming and having all of their relationships in that game. They're not going to depart from that. It's really hard for them to do that. And so as parents of adolescents, if you have your kids playing Minecraft, I would really encourage you to, number one, read our Minecraft review on braveparenting.net, because it's going to give you a big perspective as to why we have certain age ratings and certain settings that we think is really required for healthy use of the video game, because Minecraft is really a beast. And it's, I would say, I don't know if you would agree, Ryan, it's an entry level game. It's kind of like, you know, what you start with before you go to Fortnite and maybe even Call of Duty or Marvel Rivals, all these other games that they expand to.
Absolutely, because you can justify it at just about any age because of the creativity in the game.
Yeah.
And thus it becomes that first game. And then from there, well, what other games are out there?
So what's your overall review then, based on everything we said? Would you recommend that parents do go see the movie with their kids? And at what age do you think would be inappropriate?
And based on our guide, because in our guide to Minecraft, we recommend that you actually hold off on letting your children play it until they're 12. And that is primarily so that they're old enough to be able to effectively play in the game, and as well as to be able to treat it as a game that they can actually get off of, versus if they're younger, it can be a little bit too much fun, a little bit too enjoyable, a little bit harder to get them to stop playing it if they start younger. So because of that, I would recommend that if you're going to bring your kids to see the movie, I'd recommend you bring your kids who have been playing the game. And since we recommend 12, I would recommend 12 for the movie. That being said, I know that many families out there have let their kids play it at younger ages. And if they've played the game at a younger age and they like the game at a younger age, then the movie is perfectly appropriate for them. Now, if you haven't let your children play it and you wanted to bring them, be forewarned. You're probably going to be asked to play the game afterwards. So If that's something you don't want to consider, then you might want to consider skipping the movie. If that's something where you think your kids are ready to start playing the game, well, then maybe you can consider that.
Yeah, I would say if you have like a 7 or 8 year old and they've heard of Minecraft and it just seems like a fun kid movie that they would like, I would recommend holding off because they will see it and they will want to play it. And I think that that is too young of an age. That is an age that they should still be learning and taking in life experiences that is not through a video game. That is such a tender age that they can get hooked on those games as a way of life. And they just need more time to grow in their childhood before being introduced to those games. They need to learn through other real worlds and the outside through independent creative play on their own.
Right. And the reality is, if you don't let your child play Minecraft, there's no child out there who's worse off because they haven't played a video game.
That's right.
It's a fun game. I get it. I like the game, but not having your kids play it, that's not going to hurt them.
No, it's still wise to make that choice. No one ever regrets delaying and limiting, but a lot of parents regret allowing too much too soon.
Right. And I would say if you're considering it, consider it and then wait. Because everyone generally tries, they consider it, they think about it, they're like, okay, now's the time to do it. And then they always say, I probably should have waited another year or so.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that was great. Thanks, Ryan, for your synopsis and opinion. Very valuable.
I enjoyed it. I was glad we got to go see it.
Yeah. We'll use Brave Parenting as an excuse to go see those movies.
Exactly.
All right, friends. That is all we have for you today. Be sure to check out that Brave Parenting guide to Minecraft on our website, braveparenting.net, for more information. And if you would do us a favor and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, that helps other parents find our podcasts. Thank you so much for watching and listening today. Until next time, go and be brave.